Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. The supremacy of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross.
Thank you, Ed. I just felt it was important to have that read this morning because it reminds us of why we're here. It reminds us who is in charge, if you like. It tells us who Jesus really is and why we're here, to worship the one and only true living Creator God. This morning, I'd like us to think about communication and the word. The world today is consumed by technology. I mean, you've just got to look around. What we see today in phones, in iPads, computers, etc., tomorrow morning will probably all be out of date. Now, I have to say, not much technology gives me a problem. You might think, oh, she's good, she knows it all. I simply accept that it is just beyond my understanding. I can do the basics, I can telephone, I can text, I can email, I can look for something on the internet, but after that, I am completely lost, and I have no time or wish to spend to know anymore. I can get by with just text and phone. I leave all the complicated stuff to people like Adrian and the people at the back who know what they're doing. And if anything goes wrong with my computer, I just pick the phone up and say, can you help? And to me, that's much better than going through trying to learn it all. We went to a course, actually, four, five, 6 years ago now, to learn how to, when computers, and we were all fired up and we wanted to know how to do PowerPoint. So we went to a course to find out how to do PowerPoint on the computer. Diligently, we wrote down each step that we did so we could later follow the steps, remember it, and practice it. As I say, that was about 4 or 5 years ago, and I'm still trying to find the time to practice the skills. Probably now I've even can't find the notes. But I know I'm one of the few, and most people are very adept at texting and Facebook and Twitter. They also know when the computer goes wrong, which button to press. I just ask my grandchildren. Many people use social media to keep in contact with friends, but like everything else in life, it's our responsibility as Christians to use it sensibly, because Satan also uses the social media. Let's not forget that. Everything we can do, he can do better. So let's remember. And I think communication involves three kinds of word. It involves firstly the written word, then it involves the spoken word, and most important of all, it means God's word. So let's look just briefly at each one of these. The written word. Many types and varieties of the written word. We all know them. legal documents, application forms, essays, schoolwork, email, text, Facebook, Twitter, on and on it goes. Who remembers getting a letter from a friend of theirs in the post? How long ago was it that you had a letter from a friend of yours? Yeah. But it's getting around to Christmas, so some people put a little epistle in their Christmas card. But nobody writes letters nowadays. But writing things down is a way to express our thoughts, and it's also a way to communicate with each other. What we write can often make perfect sense to the person writing it, but those reading it can sometimes see it quite differently and interpret it quite differently, which can cause problems or misunderstandings, particularly in relationships. A typing error, which I often do because my phone, the letters are so small, when I push one, the next one goes. And when I read it over again, I've got so many corrections to do, I think, was it worth the effort? Here are two examples, right? Remember in prayer the many who are sick of our church community. Smile at someone who is hard to love and say hell to someone who doesn't care much about you. Did you spot the typing errors in that? And this one, I like this one best. The pastor would appreciate it if the ladies of the congregation would lend him their girdles for the pancake breakfast. I'd love to see them cooking pancakes on the ladies' girdles. So easy, and yet so easy as well to misunderstand. It can also be beneficial to write down things, like if you get a phone call, you write it down on a piece of paper so you don't forget if you've got a message. My problem is I lose the piece of paper that I've written it on. And then I have to ring up and say, what time did you say it was? Or where did you say I had to go? Or you could write it for a shopping list. Now, I have to say again, religiously, I can write out a shopping list, and I get to the shop, and I go for the list, and it's on the kitchen table. So that's not very, very beneficial. That's the written word. The spoken word can be either telephone, Skype, or face-to-face. I find speaking on the telephone a better way of communicating than texting. Because the tone, when someone talks to you and you hear their voice, the tone of the voice can be heard. And if you're not sure what they're saying, you can immediately ask, what do you mean by that? Or, am I seeing this, what you're saying? Am I hearing it right? And that rectifies any possible mistakes. But I find, personally, the best way to communicate is face-to-face. I would much rather meet with somebody and say, what do you think you're playing at? Or what have I done? Or tell me what I can do. And then there's no leeway. You're there. You get it. You ask. Now, I know this way of thinking could be outdated in today's world. But I think we're so busy, it's easier just to do a text rather than say, can I meet you? But I think when you communicate like this one-to-one, again, it reduces any possibilities of misinterpretation. A text, a phone call, and then face-to-face. And with each level that we communicate, we get a better understanding. Here are two ways of something that can be interpreted differently. 8 new choir robes are currently needed due to the addition of several new members and to the deterioration of some older ones. Now, are they referring to older members or are they referring to the choir robes? And this one. The first time I sang in the choir, 80 people changed their religion. Now, does that mean they went somewhere else because I was bad? Or does it mean they came because I was so good? Different ways of looking at what is written. We all see things differently. We're all different people. But these three ways are the three main ways that we communicate with each other. But the only way that is completely and utterly trustworthy is the word that comes from the Lord. It tells us in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Whatever interpretation we have of God's words, and we know that when we go to house groups or we meet with each other, we might have a different view about what this means and what that means. But it's the only means of communication that's 100% trustworthy. Because the Lord is the one who suffered humiliation, pain, desertion, and death for each one of us. And when he was raised to life, he gave us the opportunity to accept eternal life in him. Because he was fully human, he knows the difficulties we can face. I know he didn't have a telephone, and I know he didn't text, and I know he didn't have email, but he understands everything, all the emotions and things that go on today in our world. He knows the temptations of the world that we live in. He knows the way the evil one can attack our thoughts and our actions. But Jesus won the victory, folks. And in our life in him, we too have the victory. We are the body of Christ. He is the head of his family, the church. And he will never, ever leave us. In his word, the Lord tells us again and again and again how much he loves each one of us and how special we are. In Romans 8, he tells us, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. So whatever we face, God loves us. And this other one in 1 Corinthians 10, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. In other words, nothing that we face is any different from what anybody else has faced through the ages. But God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out, not so you can escape it, but that so that you can stand under it. That's the kind of God we worship. So whatever situation we find ourselves in, our first step before rushing into action and doing things and saying things ought to be to turn to our Saviour, who will guide us and give us his wisdom through his Holy Spirit. As God's family, we are inevitably in a relationship with him, and we are co-heirs in Christ. We're told this. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. So communication is a necessary part of any relationship. as we all know. But we also all know, don't we, that we're all sinners. We're not yet perfected, and we often fail. What we must not do is get downhearted, think we are worthless, and think that because we fail, our friends or Jesus don't want to know us anymore. That is not true. Ephesians 3, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, this is what we must do, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness, humility and gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in unity. Love binds them all together in unity. The church here, praise the Lord, is growing. But, as in everything, when things get bigger, more people get involved, and some personalities are easier to get along with than others. Like when you get a new car and you've got all these new electrical things, it just takes one little thing to go wrong, and in the car you can't go anywhere because it all stops. It gets more and more complicated as life goes on. And it's the same with the church. The church is growing. More and more people, more and more situations, more and more people, personalities who don't really rub along with each other or not. But what we have to remember is just how much we, each one of us, are loved by Jesus. And we have to take me and what I want or think out of the situation. We are all here, not for our gain, but to love, to serve, and to worship Jesus. He is of first importance. We must put Jesus first. The Holy Spirit will help us focus on what Jesus wants, and what he wants is to share the love of Christ with everyone. Because our Christian faith is based, as you know, on love and self-sacrifice. Now, sometimes we doubt that God can love us, but Jesus never doubted his Father's love, and neither should we. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Remain in my love. The security we have as Christians in a life which is full of commercialism, and we often feel we're swimming the wrong way up the stream, the security we have is a direct result of our union with Jesus Christ. Faith is the result of the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show his incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it has by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not by works, so no one can boast. We are God's workmanship, created, as we heard before, in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. We don't know what he's going to write on the sheet in this place. What we do know is that if we do not love each other and take ourselves out of the equation, then nothing he wants doing in this place will get done. We have to love each other, work with each other, and forget self. At all times, we've had thoughts which are not in keeping with the Lord's word. But as long as they're just thoughts, and we don't speak them, or we don't do anything about them, we give them to the Lord and he can sort them out. The trouble comes when we speak those thoughts or we write them down. Because once those thoughts are out of our head and they're put into action, the damage they can do cannot be known at the time we speak them. And it can result in hurt. And although we might forgive, as Jesus forgives us, the words still are there in our memories, no matter how hard we try to get rid of them. The secret is to give it all to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will help us to go on and continue to try and be who he knows we can be. I remember an occasion I was in a situation about 25 years ago now. I had this difficult situation and I talked it over. There was two people involved. And I talked it over with one who said they would go back and see the other one. And whatever was said between them was just nothing. I don't know what it was, but it resulted in a split. And I went and I apologized. It wasn't my fault because I had no idea. But I went because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to apologize. He wants us to be the peacemakers. He wants us to be the first to say we're sorry. And that's what I did, and it made no difference. And I felt dreadful. I was all sixes and sevens, upset. And in the end, I went to my minister and asked if there was anything else that the Lord would want me to do. And when he said no, I then had to leave that situation at the cross. Now, I didn't find that easy, and I don't think anybody can find it easy because you still remember. You still feel the pain of the situation. And it took me quite a few years to move on, to actually leave it at the cross and not take it back. To trust that God loved me enough that he would help me to move on. But he does know best, and he does help. And let's face it, the one commandment that Jesus gave to us was to love one another as he loves us. God is love. He always gives us forgiveness. He always encourages us. He's always there. We can always trust him. And it's all written down in his word. All we have to do is read it. Jesus is why we are here this morning. He relies on us as his brothers and sisters to show him to the world and what we say and what we do and how we act and how we relate to people. He trusts us to keep him the focus of our lives and live as he showed us we should do. And even if we fail, which we all do, better to try and fail than fail to try. Do we always give encouragement and love and hope to our fellow man in what we say and do? Or are we judgmental, critical? Let's remember that the world watches God's family more closely than anyone else. They are looking for faults. They are looking for ways to prove that they are right not to come to church and believe in Jesus. So let's keep our focus on him. Let's make sure any grey thoughts we may have are given to him before we say or do anything about them. And above all, let's love and support each other. just as Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, helps and supports us. Our faith is love. Our God is love. Our thoughts, our actions, our words, our deeds should all be done with love. I'd like to just read you this. It's something I read about the church, which is God's family. And it's all about God being the center. It says, if this is not a place where tears are understood, where can I go to cry? If this is not a place where my spirit can take wing, where do I go to fly? If this is not a place where my feelings can be heard, where do I go to speak? If this is not a place where you will accept me as I am, where can I go to be? And if this is not a place where I can learn to try to learn and grow, where do I just be me? And all the answer to those questions is in God's family, surrounded by love and caring and forgiveness and kindness and all the fruit of the Spirit, which as Christians we need to practice.